In my decades of practice as a psychotherapist, this is the insight that has inspired me most. Our deepest wounds surround our greatest gifts. And those gifts are the greatest, richest key to finding love and helping it grow and thrive. In this podcast, you'll learn how to discover your own core gifts. So stay tuned to Deeper Dating.
If you've ever been disillusioned, disappointed, or discouraged in your search for love, and you know there has to be a better way to find the healthy, soul-filling love you've always longed for, then you've discovered the podcast for you. I know, as Ken's work personally has led me to find the love of my life. So here's your host of Deeper Dating, Ken Page.
As I said, in my many, many, many years as a psychotherapist, the insight that has affected me the most deeply is the fact that our greatest wounds surround our deepest gifts. The qualities that we tend to be the most ashamed of, the most timid to show, the ones we keep trying to reshape or reform or hide or domesticate, are in fact the key to finding and keeping real love. I call them core gifts, and they're the heart and soul of this work. I'm Ken Page, and welcome to the Deeper Dating Podcast. Every week, I'll be giving you free access to the greatest insights, the most powerful practices, and the most essential findings I know for everyone who wants to find love and keep it flourishing and heal your life in the process. Because the skills of dating are nothing more than the skills of intimacy. And the skills of intimacy are the greatest skills of all for a happy life. You can also read a transcript of this episode on deeperdatingpodcast.com/E13. And if you go there, you're also going to get a free gift, and you'll be able to learn more about the deeper dating process and hear all about my upcoming courses and classes and intensives. And by the way, if you like what you're learning here, please do subscribe to the podcast and leave me a review on iTunes if you like. It's a great way to say thank you and support this work. I also just want to say before we begin that everything that's shared in this podcast is educational in nature. It's general information to support you in your intimacy journey. It's not medical advice, and it's not psychiatric advice, and it's not treatment for any physical, emotional, or mental disorder. It's a perspective for you to consider. And if you're experiencing any serious psychological or psychiatric conditions, please seek professional help. And if it feels like a true emergency, please get emergency help right away. Your life is too precious to put at risk. You know, it's so easy to get lost in the quest for self-improvement. It's everywhere. Every billboard seduces us with a vision of a happier, more successful life. And I'm suggesting here an opposite road to happiness. If we can find and name our own ardent, awkward gifts and extricate them from the shame and the wounds that keep them buried, we'll find ourselves on a bullet train to happiness, to deep and surprising and life-changing intimacy. Over the years, I realized in my practice that the characteristics of my clients that I found the most inspiring, the ones that I felt like were the most essentially them, were the qualities that they felt the most ashamed of. Sometimes clients would complain about feeling like they were too much, like too intense, too demanding, too angry. And from my therapist's chair, I understood why they said that, but I would see a passion so powerful that it frightened people away. Other clients maybe would say that they kept feeling like they're not enough, that they were too weak or too quiet or not strong enough or too ineffective. And with these people who kept getting stepped on, I would find a quality of humility and grace which wouldn't let them assert themselves and force themselves on people like other people did. I would have clients that would describe their lives being devastated by codependency. And in that codependency, I would see an immense generosity with no healthy limits. Again and again, where my clients saw their greatest wounds, I saw also their most defining gifts. Cervantes once said that reading a translation of a book from a foreign language is like looking at a tapestry from the back. You don't see the beauty or the richness, and that is what it's like when we try to understand our relationship history without understanding the gifts behind that relationship story, these deep core gifts. And with all of my clients, with all of my intensive participants and my students, this is where I start: naming and identifying and claiming their core gifts, because that's how we find the deeper language of our hearts. When we understand our lives through the lens of our gifts, it's like we step out from behind the tapestry and see it from the front for the first time. The colors, the imagery, the stories. When we understand the gifts, the aching, the longing, the intensity, the fear, the shyness, the creativity, the originality, all of those kind of qualities that we have felt awkward about or maybe a little ashamed of or haven't known what to do with in the world. We see our lives when we begin to call those qualities gifts. We begin to see our lives for the first time. All of a sudden, things make sense and we see the real picture. We see the movie of what has always mattered most to us, but maybe we didn't know what to do with. And we begin to understand, too, that our biggest mistakes, our most self-sabotaging behaviors, our crappiest relationships were convulsive. I'll be right back after this. If you're interested in accelerating and deepening your search for love, I want to invite you to a very special project, the Deeper Dating Intensive. I only offer it twice a year, and it's a 6-month journey working closely with me and an amazing community to transform each member's search for love. And you can learn more at deeperdatingintensive.com. And if it feels like a match, on that page, you can set up a free one-on-one session with me to explore possibilities. I look forward to connecting if this speaks to you. Welcome back. Unskilled attempts to try to express and get validation for these deepest parts of ourselves. I'll share my own story as an example. So I grew up as a gay boy, born in the mid-50s, and it's not a great thing to be like a gay boy growing up in the 60s, of Holocaust survivor parents who felt like toughness was survival. So I was this deeply sensitive kid who felt things would knock me down to my knees. Both joy and pain affect me so deeply, and no one in my family understood it, and as wonderful as they were, they experienced it as weakness. So I experienced it as weakness, and I experienced my constant anger at these qualities being suppressed as kind of my own craziness, my own neurosis. It was only after discovering therapy and getting help that I found that those qualities of intensity and sensitivity, which had always been kind of screaming to get out, were my deepest gifts. And when I decided to honor those qualities, my life began to change. And it's how I mark the beginning of having been able to create a life that is very, very rich with intimacy. Another example, I had a client named Susan. We'll say her name is Susan. And she came into therapy after her boyfriend of a few years left her. And she had put her heart and soul into this relationship. And when it ended, she felt completely destroyed. On her first visit to see me, she asked, "Why can I not let go and move on like he did? Or like all my friends tell me I should?" And she began over time to describe her relationship history, and I saw a consistent quality of kindness in her, a kind of soft-heartedness which people kept taking advantage of. And she appreciated these qualities in herself, but she also felt like they were a curse. And let me step back here and say, one of the main signs of a core gift is that it feels like a curse some of the time. We're going to get to helping you discover yours as we move on in this episode. But so I sensed at this early point, before I had words for this material, I sensed that the key to her healing was exactly there. Because again and again, she did not know how to dignify that softness of spirit. And she kept getting in trouble because of that again and again. So we kept working at reframing her sensitivity, not as a weakness, but as a gift that she and her past partners didn't know how to honor. Our core gifts, whatever they are our intimacy genius. And genius is never an easy thing to handle. If we try to domesticate it too much, our genius is lost. If we act it out without discipline and clarity and discrimination, we get hurt and we hurt other people. If we airbrush these qualities and then present them, we weaken ourselves. When we don't honor these qualities, as hard as they might be to honor, we're always a little bit off balance, like standing on a wobbly ladder, because we will not be behind us. And the us deep inside knows that we are not behind us. So for Susan, like for most or all of us, seeing these qualities as a gift is the foundation of a new life. For her, it was the foundation of a new dating life, too. When she could see their worth, she could learn to understand them and honor them and even treasure them. And then she learned how to be discriminating because she realized that these were gifts. And when she looked at her life through the lens of seeing these gifts, she actually felt triumphant. It hit her that her intuition was actually right all along. She said, those things that bothered me about these boyfriends, they bothered me for a reason. I was not crazy. I just didn't honor my gift, and I found a lot of men who were all too happy to agree with me on that. And that brought up a lot of sadness for her, a sadness of lost years, of not trusting her own gut. This is the work of deeper dating. And it's the work of seeing our lives through the lens of understanding our gifts. The easiest way that I could help you take the next step in discovering your core gifts is with an image of a target. So picture an image of a target and picture that the closer you get to the inside, every ring inward is going to move you closer to your most authentic self. The place you feel the most truly you, the place where life touches you the most deeply in joy and in pain, the place you're most alive. In the center of that target, where the bullseye is, that's where lie your core gifts. So, core gifts are not the same as talents or skills. In fact, until we understand them, they really often feel like shameful weaknesses or parts of ourselves just too vulnerable to expose. But they are where our soul lives. They're like the bone marrow of our psyche, generating a living stream of impulses toward intimacy and self-expression. But those gifts are not hall passes to happiness. They get us in trouble again and again. We become the most defensive or the most naive around them. They challenge us, and they challenge the people we care about. They ask more of us than we might even want to give. And when we feel them betrayed or rejected, that's the most devastating experience of all. So, As you get in closer to the core, to the center, to the bullseye, everything heats up. The risks get higher, the possibilities get greater, but the vulnerability gets greater. And since the heat of our core is so hard to handle, we protect ourselves by moving further out from the center. Every ring outward represents a kind of more airbrushed, safe version of ourselves. Every ring outward, in a way, makes us feel like less embarrassed, cooler, safer. less at risk of rejection. But every ring outward moves us away from the warmth of our core, from the beating heart of our authentic humanity. And it moves us further away from our soul and our authenticity and our sense of meaning. So as we get further away, as you move further out in this target image, further away from your true core gifts, you end up feeling more and more isolated. When you move out too far because you've had to protect yourself that much, there's a terrible sense of emptiness. So most of us set up shop at a point where we're close enough to the warmth of our real selves, but far enough away from the heat of that so we don't get burned by the fire of our core gifts. We create these safer versions of ourselves to enable us to get through our lives without having to face the existential risk of living from our core. So this model invites us to discover what lives in the core, what our core gifts are. And most of us don't really know. This approach will help you when you think of your life that way. And in a moment, I'm going to give you some questions to help you do that, to extricate your core gifts from the wounds and the embarrassment and the miseducation that has kept them buried, and to begin to express them with bravery and generosity and discrimination in your dating life and in your relationship lives. And when we do that, we find healthy love moving closer. And I want to say something about that because I've taught so many courses on this, and I teach deep intensives on this as well. And in all of those, the first stages are always the discovery of our core gifts. The discovery of our core gifts through our joys. In other words, if you think about the things in the course of your day that touch your heart, maybe a little extra, they excite you, they move you, they touch you, those are signs of your core gift. And the things that hurt your heart, maybe a little extra, those are signs of your core gifts as well. Because our core gifts are the places where we care the most, where we feel the most. So now, just to help you think about your core gifts, I have the most fabulous questions for you to think about. Here's one question, and just take a minute to think about this. Are there any ways that you have felt too sensitive or too tender for the world? There is magic in those places. You have my word that your core gifts live in those feelings. Your heart is there. Imagine that this is true. Imagine that the places where you told yourself, I'm too sensitive, would actually be some of your greatest gifts, this profound sensitivity. What if that was true? What if these were gifts? And what if your job was not to try to modulate and mediate and domesticate and suppress them, but instead to honor them and say, this is a form of brilliance, this sensitivity. I deserve to honor these feelings, and I deserve to find people who also honor them. And now we get to one of the most profound understandings that I've ever had in my decades of work as a therapist. And that is this. And I've seen this happen countless times. And this is what it is. The degree to which you cherish core gifts like this, the degree to which you honor them and dignify them, to instead of kind of thinking that they're embarrassing, to the degree that you get behind them and champion them, to that degree, your attractions will actually begin to change. You will start to be attracted to people who like you truly and love you for these qualities. You will be less attracted to unhealthy relationships. And somehow, you will find yourself meeting people who honor and appreciate you for who you are more. It is an amazing, amazing thing. But I've been doing this work for a long time, and I see that it is actually part of the deeper physics of dating, part of the deeper physics of attraction. And the degree to which You dishonor these qualities or even suppress them, because suppressing your gifts is not just an act of ignoring them. It is an act of quiet violence against your innate self. And violence begets violence. When you discount or deny or dishonor these core gifts in yourself, you will somehow end up attracted to and attracting situations that chip away at your sense of self-worth and hurt you. It's an amazing thing. And now I have another question to ask you. Are there ways that you have felt too intense, that your need for truth or real communication or fairness or rightness has gotten you in trouble, maybe again and again? Your commitment to kindness has gotten you in trouble. Your commitment to action has gotten you in trouble. Your core gifts live there. In the places where your passion is deepest, those are the places that are closest to your soul. These are parts of you that are portals to an even greater experience and expression of self. Your heart lies there. Your rebel lies there. Your artist, your activist, your truth teller. Your genius lies there. And remember, genius domesticated is genius lost. So imagine, just imagine that these qualities of tenderness, which you felt were too much, qualities of intensity and passion that you worried were too much, what if those were your greatest gifts? And what if you made a commitment that you were going to look for, that you were going to lead with these gifts with generosity and discrimination? That you were actually going to not hide them until you've sealed the deal with somebody, but you were going to lead with them and only choose people who you just get this feeling that they honor and treasure and love those parts of you. Now, that does not mean that you don't have to grow and mature around these qualities, because our deepest immaturities also swirl around our greatest gifts. We have to grow up around these gifts. We have to learn to use them wisely. But just like any child, if that child does not feel essentially loved and honored, it is not going to grow up right. Our gifts, too, need to feel essentially honored and treasured. And then we begin to mature around them. If you're looking for healthy love, try to discover your own gifts. And we're going to learn so much more about this in upcoming podcasts. And of course, you can as well in my courses and classes and my book, Deeper Dating, How to Drop the Games of Seduction and Discover the Power of Intimacy. But these gifts shine in your joys and strengths, but they also live and hide right in the heart of your greatest insecurities and even heartbreaks. If you learn to reclaim these qualities and lead with them in your life will change in the most profound ways. I've seen it again and again, to the point that I truly believe that it is the key to finding and keeping passionate, living, beautiful, cherishable love. So thank you so much for being part of the Deeper Dating Podcast, and I'll see you next week.
And that's it for today's episode of Deeper Dating. Be sure to go to deeperdatingpodcast.com as Ken has a few more gifts for you. Then join us on the next episode.